Anyway, this story is yet another story where it demonstrates how our walk with God is, from my point of view at least, it's something, I mean, I want to use a term like ongoing revelation, because I do believe that God continues to be revealing the divine self over history, that God didn't stop, that the Bible describes certain periods of time and how people were understanding God, but we continue to walk with God and understand new aspects. And this particular passage is the story comes at the tail end of the story of Peter with Cornelius. Now, what are a few of the things that we can say about Peter, who Peter was?
The rock.
The rock. The rock. Okay, he was Simon before he was Peter, right? What about Peter? What was his profession? Fisherman. He was a fisherman. And a naked one at that. I should explain. Yeah, it's one of the funniest passages in my mind. Because there at the end of, in Acts there, when Jesus, or it's in John, where Jesus appears by the waterside, and the disciples are out there in the boat fishing, and it says, Peter recognized Jesus and pulled on his clothes and dove into the water. Naked fisherman, you know, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Pardon the pun. But anyway, so this is Peter. This, I knew that. I wondered if there'd be any groans. But anyway, this is Peter. This is Peter, who was a fisherman. He wasn't a theologian. He wasn't quick-witted or anything like that. He was one who was slow to understand in many ways. He wanted to keep Jesus from, you know, I don't want to hear about you talking about suffering and dying and all of this. And so Peter's the one that was often very zealous, but not very measured, you know? He just was kind of a impulsive guy. And Peter then is in the pre-story to this passage. He's there, he's been on the road, and he's staying in the house of a man named Simon the Tanner. Simon, and he's a tanner, which means that he lives outside the city walls. He's unfit for temple worship. You know, he has to be purified because he's dealing with cadavers or dead bodies and making leather. And Peter stays with him. And I think the reason Peter stayed with him was because Peter was a fisherman and he wanted to be by the sea, and that's where tanners were. And so he's there at Simon's house, and he goes up onto the rooftop, and he falls into a sleep. He falls asleep. It's warm. It's beautiful. Breeze from the Mediterranean. He falls asleep, and he has this dream. And what's the dream about? Does anybody remember? What comes down on a sailcloth? Animals. Unclean animals. And what does the Spirit say to him, Jackie? Well, first of all, he says, take and eat. Right? And Peter says, no, I won't eat that. This is unclean. No, I just don't do that. That'll defile me. And the voice says it again and again. And finally, Peter is there pondering, you know, and I get the sense that, you know, Peter's impulsive, right? So he's not big on thinking. You know, that's not his first reflex to think. What's that? There you go. He hasn't had bacon yet. So anyway, that day's coming. But anyway, Peter's pondering this. And as he's pondering it, the voice of the Lord says to him, some people are coming. Do what they say. Go with them. And these people arrive, and they're unclean. They're Gentiles. And they're part of, they've been sent by Cornelius, who's a centurion. So he's part of the occupying forces. And remember, Peter, what does he do in the garden? Cuts off an ear. So impetuous Peter is there and goes down and he sees these, I take it as obviously military people, and they you know, say a little bit about their mission, but he takes them in and gives them hospitality. And the next morning, he goes to meet with Cornelius, and he's had more time to ponder both the vision of the sailcloth, saying, if I've declared it clean, it's clean. And so Peter's walking with these people that represent the oppressive forces, the occupying people, and they're unclean. Peter's pondering, what's going on here? What's taking place? And he gets to Cornelius's house, and there's a whole bunch of people gathered. And Peter says, or Peter introduces himself, but he introduces himself in a very offensive way. Any memory of what Peter says? I shouldn't be here. You know? I mean, in terms of cross-cultural work, not the way to do things. You don't go into the house of somebody who's hosting you, no matter their origin. You don't go in and say, I shouldn't be here because you're all unclean. It's not exactly a way to gain friends or build relationship. But then what does he do? Since he's been pondering all this stuff on the road and so forth, he gets there to the point where he says to them, tell me what's going on here. And Cornelius tells the story. He tells the story of his own faithfulness to God and how he had a vision. And in the vision, he was told, go and bring this Simon who's staying at the house of Simon the Tanner, bring Peter to your house. And he will share with you what to do next. And Peter, after having listened to them talk about what had brought them to this point, that's where this speech comes in. Because Peter has been pondering all these different things. All these different things. One, you know, he's staying with Simon the Tanner. So he's in the house of an unclean person. But it's an unclean Jew. Right? So he's with people that are a part of the people of God, but they're not fit for work, temple worship. But that's where he's staying. Why? Because he loved the sea. So he's already outside the boundaries. And then what happens? It's his very practice of the faith that gets called in question. You know? This is only the second time I've worn a tie here. And it's like calling in the question wearing a tie. You know, there are some people, where I was growing up, when you show you're serious for work, now Tom's wearing a tie too, you can tell he's serious. You know, this is Easter for crying out loud. You don't come with no tie on, right? Because, like, do you have to teach in a tie? Well, he likes to. You see there? You know, it's when Peter, why was Peter pondering? It's because his whole sense of how he should be when he appears before God in worship is being thrown into question. Because the act of worship, if you were not clean, you couldn't even go there, right? So getting ready, putting on your tie and your jacket and so forth, it's part of being ready to worship God. And so when the sailcloth appears there and the word of the Lord comes to take and eat, he says, no way, there's never a time, I will never enter the temple without a suit and tie. I'm not acceptable for worship without it. So it was the very means of his understanding of his relationship with God, which was being thrown into question. And then on top of that, what gets added to the drama is these unclean people come and say to him, we've been sent to take you to our master's house. So he takes in, he actually gives hospitality to unclean people. So Peter's receiving hospitality from somebody that's unclean, but he doesn't even think of that. He's been told about eating food that's unclean, and then now he's giving hospitality to unclean people. And then the fourth thing is he goes and he receives hospitality from unclean people. But now it's a dilemma because he gets there and he says, you know, I'm fed up with all of this stuff. I shouldn't even be here. He's really had his limit. He's got it to the nose or whatever. I don't know what expression you use in this part of Virginia. What's that? Up to here. Yeah. See, that's what I thought about mustard. But then I didn't want you thinking I was talking about my shirt. But anyway. It's going. Any other? No. Anyway, anyway, that was no, it was good. It's all good. It's all good. There's nothing wrong here. So anyway, so what happens now? Peter's there, and remember, he's been pondering all this stuff. Simon says to him, Cornelius replied, you know, Simon, the words before this are in 29. He says, so when I was sent for, I came without objection. You know, I just did what I was told. I came without objection. But I was carrying lots of objection, you know, and I had a whole day to walk, you know, I had a whole day to walk here. But he says, now, may I ask you why you sent for me? And Cornelius replied, 4 days ago at this very hour, at 3 o'clock, I was praying in my house when suddenly a man in dazzling clothes stood before me. He said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard and your alms have been remembered before God. Send therefore to Joppa and ask for Simon, who is called Peter. He's staying in the home of Simon, a tanner by the sea. Okay. Therefore, I sent for you immediately. And you have been kind enough to come. See, you know, it goes back to calling people for prayer before the breakfast here. It took, I had, you know, me saying, quiet, you know, we need to pray, we're going to pray. It's Crystal, right? Crystal belted out, be quiet, and then people were silent. Cornelius was a man who was accustomed to giving orders. He was a centurion. He was accustomed to giving orders and expecting that people respond to him in obedience. So when he was told to send for people, he didn't hesitate. He sent the people to go get Simon Peter, expecting that he would come. That was because he represented that kind of authority. Therefore, I sent for you immediately, and you have been kind enough to come. So now all of us are here in the presence of God to listen to all that the Lord has commanded you to say. And what does he say? The Lord hadn't given him really a commandment, you know, specific words to say. But Peter stood up, and he was transparent with them. He was honest with them. He said what was true. He said, I truly understand that God shows no partiality. But in every people, anyone who fears him and practices righteousness is acceptable to him. What's revolutionary about that? Anyone? Doesn't matter your color, doesn't mean it matter if you're from the east side or the west side, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you fear him and you act justly. You know? If you honor God and you're living rightly, you're acceptable in God's presence. It doesn't matter anything else. And then it gets on deeper. It says, you know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Now he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, and everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Now, the thing that's striking there is, how far has Peter moved in his understanding of his own faith in this chapter? He went a long ways. He's gone a long ways because he was thinking about the laws. He wasn't thinking in terms of righteousness, in terms of actions towards people or anything like that. No, he was thinking about, if you do the right thing when it comes to not eating this, not eating that, you know, being cleansed properly before, by giving alms, by doing all these things, if you do all these things, You'll be right. What happens in this story? And this is why I got the change the title for this, Jesus the Game Changer. Because Jesus switched Peter's understanding of his own faith from actions to make him righteous, to keep him pure, to being in a right relationship with Jesus and those around you. So he changed his faith in this point in time to being able to recognize not only just the stranger, but the unclean stranger. So when we say Jesus is risen, what we're really saying is Jesus changed the way we think about our faith. And Jesus invites us into a relationship of being known. Not simply being known as a human being, but being known as a person. Thank you, Jesus.